Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. Certainly great to be back live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. I was off last week. May have seen the social media accounts. A little bit of a health scare. I'm fine. Joy Taylor is quarantining. She is undisclosed location. She is joining me live. How are you, Joy? You look great today. It's great to be back. Good to see and hear your voice this morning. How are things?
I'm great, and we are very happy to have you back, Colin. We missed you, and we didn't get to have our Super Bowl show. Me and Nick did it, but obviously everyone wanted to hear your thoughts on the Super Bowl, so we're very happy to have you back.
It's great. 1 hour from now, Colin right, Colin wrong. So my first show back, I'll probably be rusty, but I thought this morning, and I'd like to thank all the people that said wonderful things. I live in Los Angeles, grocery stores, car washes, wherever I went. People could not have been kinder. Thank you so much for that. I'll wear the rust off a little bit today. But I did want to spend just 5 minutes talking about the Super Bowl because I didn't get to talk about it. And you know I love football. It's probably 60-65% of my show. So I watched it from a hospital bed. I took notes. Swear to God, I'm that big of a dork. So you know, as I watch that, so much of what we do, not just me, but you, we watch sports and then we observe something and then we have an opinion on what we observed. And as I sat there watching it from a hospital bed, sweating, it's part of the medication, notes, no distraction, I'm fascinated with Tom Brady. And I always have thought he's a great leader, but it's beyond that. There's a lot of great athletes, lots in all sports. There's a handful of great leaders. And then there's this inspirational thing that you can't quite quantify, where you know, it's the you don't want to disappoint somebody. Brady has the rare ability to play poorly in stretches, 3 interceptions second half at Lambeau, and he never loses it. He has an ability to not be the most important person in the game. Super Bowl, it was the front, defensive front for the Buccaneers. And yet he never loses it. That so much of what Brady does is hard to quantify. Is that he has the ability, and I grew up watching a lot of great broadcasters, and I always thought Oprah was the best at this. Not only was Oprah great at what she did as a broadcaster, but she curated other broadcasters through her network. And she actually inspired her audience. She was the first person. Ellen did a good job to take the baton from Oprah to kind of inspire her audience. Brady did something with the special teams in Tampa that's hard to fathom. You watch football, I watch football. For the last decade or more, Tampa special teams have been a tire fire. But yet in the playoffs, off and on the road, they were really strong. Tampa's offensive line, as Tom joined the team this year, was middle of the road. Nobody thought they were elite. Yet they went to Green Bay, Kansas City. They were a dominant unit against the Chiefs' defensive line. Ali Marpet's a guard, went to Hobert, came out 12th best guard, 13th best guard, 12th best guard. After Quentin Nelson, is he the second best guard now? Tristan Wirfs was the highest graded player, right tackle in the Super Bowl. Ryan Jensen, the center. Who's better at that position than him? That offensive line was middle of the pack last year. I'm not blaming Jameis Winston. I'm saying is Derek Jeter was a great leader, but he couldn't take a 265 hitter and have him hit 300 in the playoffs. LeBron's a great leader, but he never could make Kyrie Irving a great defender. Tom Brady made Tampa's offensive line a powerhouse. He took their awful, unreliable special teams and down the stretch made them a strength. So that's beyond leadership to me. That is inspiration, and so few do it. And Brady has the ability to play poorly in stretches, to not be on the field for long stretches, to not be that important in individual games, and yet he is inspiring other players. Scotty Miller, a wide receiver, was on with Nick Wright last week and discussed this very thing.
Right away, we just saw his competitiveness and his work ethic. I always say that it's just a testament to who he is. He's outworking. He's done everything you could possibly do in the sport. Everything you could dream of doing, he's done it. The best to ever do it. And he's still out there at 43 years old. I think he is outworking everybody. But then as far as that fiery side, I mean, we saw that right away, even with us when we weren't running the right routes, just getting on us, but in a positive way too, because he wants to get the best out of you, wants to get the most out of you.
This was not a talent story. And to prove it, go back to week 13. Nobody would argue what I'm about to say, including the Buccaneers. There was a lot of turbulence until about week 12 or 13. Nobody thought this was a Super Bowl team in week 10, 11, 12. Then they had a bye. From that point, that late season bye, they went 8-0. Dominant offensive line. Better than average special teams. Run game. So in that moment, when they finally, no preseason, they finally got Tom in season for 10 days of practice and inspiration, it totally changed the football team. Of course they weren't good in September, October. They had no preseason. It wasn't until they got a bye at the end of the year or near it, and Tom could teach and mentor. That goes beyond leadership. And so much, you always hear stories about people only use 10% of their brain, with rare exceptions. You hear stories about people can lift a car or lift weight. That's not about leadership. You're being inspired by something. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's the fear of losing a child. Maybe it's the fear of gaining something. Whatever it is. When I sat in that hospital bed and I watched that game, so much of what we all do with football is watch, observe, and comment. And so much of what Brady does is not on television. You can't quantify it. And you're going to see all these teams. There are going to be so many teams. Rams with Matt Stafford. Watch the Bears go pay for Carson Wentz. And the Jags are going to draft Trevor Lawrence. And they think it's going to be this magic elixir. It's going to solve all their issues. And they may be better at quarterback. But the big arm and the mobility and all the hype, I can see all that. What Brady does, I often can't. All right, so I was off for just a week, and Russell Wilson is largely known as kind of boring. He always says the right thing. You know, Russell Wilson is one of those guys. It's always, you know, whatever's best for the team, go Hawks. And then I took a week off, and he turned into Howard Stern. He's like Mr. He's Mr. Controversy. So he was going on multiple platforms and talking. And he's on with Dan Patrick last week. I think this is late last week. Here's Russell Wilson, and opened up a whole Seattle can of worms.
I think that ultimately, for me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved, because at the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's, you know, it's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys you got to trust.
Are you involved in personnel decisions? Have you been involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't, you know, I think that, you know, for,
do you
for me,
want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps you to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often.
Okay, we've got stories now. Russell Wilson, I can tell you this, isn't happy with Pete Carroll. He likes his teammates. He likes Seattle. It's a Pete Carroll thing. The offense is outdated. Analytic people for several years now have rolled their eyes at the Seahawks offense. That's not my opinion. I've had three different Seattle players tell me they feel like they're running a 1980s offense. Since the death of Paul Allen, Pete Carroll has unquestioned power. In my opinion, it's a lopsided franchise where the coach has too much power over the playbook, has too much power over his quarterback, has too much power over the franchise, and too much power over John Snyder. The offensive line has been suboptimal since they traded away Max Unger, a very talented center. And Russ doesn't believe he is given the respect he deserves. And the bigger issue is, let's say Andy Reid was struggling with Mahomes. Andy Reid could still point to that offense to go, look what I'm doing. When Bill Belichick and Brady had their prickly moments, Belichick's defense was still great. What is happening in Seattle is the offense is outdated, but the defense is no good, and that's Pete's specialty. In the last 5 years, Seattle's defense has gone from 5th to 11th to 16th to 26th to 22nd. And too often, Russell Wilson feels like a life preserver for a franchise that can't stop anybody. And what you're having now, and I will say this, it is a little bit of a Tom Brady effect. Because Brady wins the Super Bowl, you got two things happening. Teams are now saying, oh, all we need is a quarterback. Just give us Carson Wentz and Matt Stafford. And that's happening. But here's the second thing that's happening. Guys like Russell Wilson are saying, the hell? Look at Brady's defense. Look at Brady's weapons. Brady went out and he got Gronk and he got Leonard Fournette. Brady clear and Antonio Brown. So you got two things working here with Russell Wilson, who's a top five quarterback. You got teams looking at what Brady did and they want to upgrade at quarterback. That'll solve all our issues. San Francisco's like 26-6 with Garoppolo. Get rid of that bum. We'll never lose another game. Be careful about that. Similarly, I do think you have Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and others, maybe Deshaun Watson, looking at the New England situation saying, Tommy's getting a little say in personnel, and look at Tommy's weapons, and look at Tommy's defense, and he got Fournette, and he got Gronk, and he got AB. It's the Brady effect. And I think a little bit of that is happening with Russell Wilson, who feels like, listen, man, I don't get any say on personnel. I don't get any say in the playbook. I don't get any say on anything. Did you guys just see what happened in Tampa? I think a lot of this, I think the timing is interesting. It happens after Brady wins a Super Bowl. And Russ is saying, time out. You got Deshaun Watson. I think I'm better than Deshaun. He's forcing a team's hand. You got Tommy got personnel say. I got no personnel say. So I think the timing here is very interesting. I think Russell Wilson needs to be authentic. He's falling into a little trap of being Andrew Luck. And I'm glad he came out on Dan's show and other shows and had strong opinions. You got to be authentic about this stuff. If you're unhappy, say it. But here's the situation in Seattle to me. I think Pete's got too much power. Pete doesn't want to relinquish it. And Russell Wilson has earned the right to say more than go Hawks. He is no longer this plucky, small, unique third-round pick. He's a top five quarterback in this league, running an outdated offense, who has virtually no say. And I'm not saying they've got to be Tampa Bay with Tommy, but he deserves more than he's getting. I think this relationship has gotten more strained as Russell has gotten higher paid and has more power, and that is making some people like Pete Carroll less comfortable. I don't think this is a great relationship. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to get traded. I've been told he's not going to get traded, but it's fluid. It's imperfect. It's turbulent. It's not great. But I'll go back to this, and I really believe it. Why now? Why Russell talking now? It's the Brady effect. Tom went. Tom had power. Tom played GM. Tom almost coached. And Russell's saying, I want a little bit of that. I'm not saying I got to have all of that, but I want a little bit of what Tom's getting because I think I'm in his class. And I don't think he's wrong. All right. So Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. J.J. Watt. What do you know? The Packers are interested. Want to talk about that coming up. Albert Breer, too. It's great to be back. I'm going to be a little rusty. Haven't talked much for a week. You know, playing with the dogs. It's not great broadcasting buildup. So I've been just talking to animals for a week. It's good to be back. And thank you so much for having me. Albert Breer. Also, Jordan Palmer. Trevor Lawrence had his pro day last Friday. He's going to come on. We're going to talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back. So, momentum's a real thing. It's hard to explain. Somebody I know named Kevin Wilds, he's on First Things First. He's a writer, producer, a comedian. Now he's on the air every morning with Nick Wright and the fellas and Jenna Wolf. And he had his theory years ago. He said, you walk around New York City, it was the crowded bar theory. He said, nobody wants to walk into an empty bar. You're with your girl, you're with buddies. There's no juice, there's no energy. He said, if I owned a bar, I would have a curtain. And on slow nights, I would close the curtain, shrink the bar to make it look more crowded. And then as people poured in, because people want to be part of momentum, they want to be part of a party, they want energy, they want juice. And one of the things that you're seeing like Tampa do is that all of a sudden they created juice, they created momentum. Oh, here comes Brady and Gronk and Leonard Fournette. People want to be part of that. Athletes want to be part of that. Matt Stafford chose the Rams because he didn't feel the juice or the energy with New England. He said, I don't want to go to New England. I want to go to the Rams. They're deal makers. Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, they're deal makers. Sometimes you have to create momentum because people want to be part of cool things. So J.J. Watt is now on the market. He gave up $17 million. I'm done. Green Bay is where he should go. I don't know if it's the best schematic fit, but I know that Green Bay needs to create momentum. They're like a bar stool missing a leg. There's three ways you can create great teams. Tampa used all of them. You can draft. And then there's trades. And then there's free agency. But we know Green Bay always sounds interested, and they say they're interested. But the Packers' history tells you they'll build through the draft. They're the bar stool missing a leg. You can't have Favre and Rodgers for 25 years and two Super Bowls. And the reason is they got to create some momentum here and go for it. And if you got to overpay a little, just do it. The Rams are aggressive. Seattle's aggressive. The Saints are aggressive. Tampa Bay's aggressive. Jerry Jones is aggressive. Philadelphia sometimes to a fault has been aggressive. You're passive. Even in your draft last year, Tampa's draft was they went and got a rookie safety and Tristan Wirfs, and it was a now draft. Let's get players now and win now. And Tampa got a quarterback who won't play and a running back because our running backs are going to be free agent in 1 year. It was a later draft. It's time to do stuff now. It's time to create Green Bay some momentum where talented, cool people want to be part of it. Take the Dockers off. Dip into your 401k. Green Bay does so many things right. They live below their means. They put money away. Sometimes you got to go on a cruise you can't afford. You got to book first-class tickets to London way over your budget. You got to live a little. I was just talking to a friend the other day. He's taking his family to Hawaii. He goes, we spent way too much North Shore of Hawaii for the house. I said, no, you didn't. I said, what you don't want to do is get there and look at the family that's no better than you, and they're on the beach and you're seven rows back. That's a lousy vacation. Nobody ever vacations on the beach in Hawaii and goes, you know, I could have saved money. Yeah, the kids are surfing. I got a luau. I could have saved $400. Nobody thinks that. Go for it. You'll figure out a way to make it work. J.J. Watt is perfect for the Packers. He does fit a need. And remember, Aaron Rodgers now is 37. He's not interested in you drafting later players. He wants what Tom's getting, now players, in the draft and in free agency. Gronk doesn't have much left, but he had enough left to make a big catch in the Super Bowl. I think you owe it to Aaron. You owe it to now. I think you have to, symbolically it matters, motivationally it matters. Be cool. Be the cool bar. Don't walk past Green Bay and always feel like, yeah, not a lot of juice. It's a well-run bar. The drinks are solid. They make enough money to sustain themselves for 20 years. Don't you want to be the bar once in a while where the party's going on? Go get J.J. Watt. Okay, he's a Hall of Fame lock. He's made his money. He wants to play there. A couple years ago, Peter King was interviewing him. They had these inter-squad games. The Texans in Green Bay were going to play like a game a couple days later, a preseason game or something, and they had an inter-squad practice. Here was J.J. Watt, Wisconsin kid, talking about it.
I don't get overly emotional for too many things, and today was one of them. I mean, I literally have looked through these fences as a kid and watched practice, watched Brett Favre practice. I've seen the bike tradition. I've stood outside the gates by the players' lot and tried to get autographs. So for me, this was literally a dream that I've had since I was a little kid. And so to be able to walk out on these practice fields and play in the shadows of Lambeau Field, it was pretty special.
He's a Packer. By the way, PFF, top 7 at his position in the NFL. Every year he's been in the NFL, he's been top 10 at his position. He's had some injuries. He's kind of expensive, but here's the reality. PFF, 7th best player at his position. Go get him. Make it happen. Create some momentum. Please. Have that third leg to the bar stool. Just once. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Eagles are still trying to work out a trade for Carson Wentz, but they're not getting the type of deal that they hoped for. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, a trade hasn't happened yet because the team has not been offered a first-round pick. Now, according to Ron Jaworski, the Colts offered a pair of second-round picks with the possibility of an additional third or fourth-round pick down the road. So the Eagles are finding themselves in kind of a predicaments with this Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts situation. Now, obviously, Indy is the preferred location for Carson Wentz. That's right. Where he'd like to go. Frank Reich is there. He had his, you know, best years with Frank Reich. And I think it's a better fit for Carson Wentz. Obviously, everything that's happening in Philadelphia is a bit dysfunctional, as we know from all the stories. But also, the media is going to treat him differently. It's a more comfortable situation. They're ready to win right now. It's actually the best move, I think, for both teams. But Philadelphia is trying to hold out for the best deal for the Eagles.
Listen, if you get 2 seconds and a third or a fourth, if you trust Jalen Hurts, who was in brief duty pretty impressive, then just go for it. This is, again, Carson Wentz wants out. It's not perfect. He's very expensive. Listen, you don't know if he's ever going to recover. If he doesn't go to Indianapolis with Frank Reich and he goes to Chicago with Matt Nagy and it doesn't work, then you're going to look back and go, we got 2 seconds and a third and a fourth, 3-4 potential starters. So to me, this situation is one, you're not going to have a happy ending. Do the best you can, move on, start over. Joy, we have seen franchises, multiple franchises over the last 4 or 5 years. You move on at quarterback. There's a bounty of young talent at quarterback. You got a kid, Jalen Hurts, who's going to get better, not worse. Just get it done. Move forward. This thing is just, it's just hanging over the franchise in Philadelphia.
No, I agree. They're being a bit greedy. And you know how I feel about draft picks anyway. So do a good job in the draft. 2 second-round picks is a healthy deal. You already have your quarterback in waiting in Jalen Hurts. So if you didn't have a quarterback, and for whatever reason things had gotten so bad that you needed to move off of Carson Wentz, then I would understand you holding out for a first-rounder because you don't have a replacement, but you have Jalen Hurts. To your point, he is very expensive. He has a $34.7 million cap hit next season. That's fifth highest among quarterbacks. So he is very pricey, but not for too long. And I do think if he does go to Indianapolis, where he is with Frank Reich, it'll be worth it to pay for him if he can have the production he had in his best years in Philly with Frank Reich. So after working out in front of NFL scouts last week, Trevor Lawrence is set to have surgery on his non-throwing shoulder on Tuesday. So this procedure will keep him out for 5 to 6 months. He is expected to be able to participate in training camp this fall. Urban Meyer suggested that Lawrence move up his pro day and have his surgery earlier so that he would be back in time for training camp. It is his non-throwing arm that he had surgery on, but This is something to me. Obviously, it doesn't change that he's going to be the first pick in the draft and that he's going to start this season. But it's kind of, you know, I'm assuming that the NFL is going to make some adjustments to the training camp situation as opposed to last year where we were very much in the unknown going into the NFL season. The protocols are in place. You have the whole process for testing in place now. So I think that I'm assuming that the NFL is going to have some sort of training camp for everyone moving into this season. So I don't think it's going to be everyone coming in at the same disadvantage as last year.
Yeah. Well, I like Trevor Lawrence. I just like watching him throw. I know I'm not supposed to take anything from this. God, I think he just looks right. It just so on so many levels, his movement. You know, it's funny, is Greg Cosell said, he goes, you know, he's not more talented than Josh Allen. And I think, and that's not a shot at Trevor Lawrence. I think we're moving into a new era, which is great because we both love football, is that there's Justin Herbert and Josh. I mean, just think in the last couple of years, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. We are in a whole new paradigm of quarterback talent, Joy. The kids are bigger. They're stronger. They have better arms. They grow up with better training. They had better nutrition than we did just in the last couple years. Mahomes, Allen, Herbert. They're like freaks. Nobody ran like that at 6'5". No, I mean, so I just think we're just in this unbelievable time that if you love football, the quality of that position, I don't remember any time in my life that rivals it.
No, it is. And there's different types of quarterbacks. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield is now working in Cleveland's. Tom Brady at 43 is in the Super Bowl and winning against Patrick Mahomes. Like, that position no longer has a box that you have to fit in. And that's really exciting because teams can get very flexible with what they do there.
Yep.
So some other injury news. The Lakers snapped their 7-game win streak last night with a loss 122-105 to the Nuggets. But a scary moment in the late second quarter when Anthony Davis aggravated his Achilles injury. He didn't return. The initial diagnosis was a right Achilles sprain, and he'll undergo an MRI today. AD said after the game that everything looked good, but they want to do the MRI just to be sure. That was a big moment. It's a little terrifying. Obviously, Anthony Davis has a little bit of an injury history, and you want them to be healthy throughout the season, obviously going into the postseason, which is a little ways away. But the Lakers are clicking, and this is the last bit of news that you want to hear, especially at that injury. Like, the Achilles injury obviously puts everyone on edge because we all know how long you have to be out for that for. So hopefully the MRI comes back clean, and he'll just need a few days off.
Well, and also, right now LeBron leads the West in minutes. This was not supposed to be the case. This was supposed to be the year, Joy, where it was kind of the passing of the baton year. Like, LeBron was going to give it in the postseason, in the bubble, especially in the finals. You kind of felt like, okay, now it's going to be LeBron will control the offense, but it's going to be kind of AD's team. Well, he's missed 5 games. Now he's hurt. LeBron still leads the West in minutes. So it feels like, okay, is there going to be a moment in LeBron's career where physically his number two is there for him? And the answer is no. Now, Dwayne Wade, it was just age. It wasn't Dwayne's fault. And again, Chris Bosh had a situation. That's not Chris's fault. But it's like, once again, you know, we know how Michael Jordan had to kind of prop up the Bulls front office and Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen. I feel like with LeBron James, he never quite has the physical consistency from his number two guy. He's always like having to kind of carry the franchise, and then he crosses his fingers and hopes he can get these brief moments of excellence from Wade, from Bosh, from Kevin Love, from Kyrie and AD. And I laugh because this was going to be AD's year. This was going to be it.
No, and it's such an irony because LeBron is always healthy and he prefers to play with more mature veteran players. And that's something that comes with it. So it always kind of lines up this way for LeBron. But hopefully AD is okay and he can just rehab this and get healthy again and it's not something serious.
Good stuff. Joy Taylor with the news on a Monday.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So anyway, for those of you I missed last week, I think most of you have an idea why I was gone. Had a little physical scare about a week ago. Best served to take some time off, build my energy back up. I feel good, a little rusty on the air, haven't been around in a week. So be patient if you can. I'll be a little choppy today and tomorrow, but feel really good. Had great support from all the people that I work with, and it is absolutely great to be back. You can only talk to your dog so much. And then you're a crazy person. Albert Breer is going to join us. There's a lot of NFL news. It is the transactional business in the NFL is now rivaling or better than the NBA. We're going to have multiple quarterbacks move. Matt Stafford's already done. Keep your eye on Carson Wentz. According to a report this morning, Colts and Bears on the clock. Who will offer more? That's coming up with Albert Breer, a guy that's always plugged in.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
By the way, I'm no expert on this, but I watched the NASCAR race, the restart last night, and the start. I don't know why NASCAR doesn't move all its races to the nighttime. I swear to God, it looks so much better. There's something about those cars on the track, under the lights at night. It's like showtime. It looks so much better. It's just like baseball playoff games. You know, Dodger Stadium, or, you know, you go one of these classic baseball stadiums, Fenway Park, and you can see the sunset. It just feels like the game is more important. But NASCAR's got a, I thought last night under the lights, it looked fantastic. Just feels, my wife's like, you don't watch a ton of NASCAR. And I'm like, well, it's the Daytona 500, and you put the stuff at night, and it just feels bigger. I mean, you don't go to a comedy club at 7:30 in the morning. Time of day matters, right? Stuff isn't as funny at 7:30 in the morning. Stuff's always funnier at night. Nobody laughs hard at 7:30 in the morning. You laugh at night, right? Like, that's that. The reality is, at night, events feel bigger. Like, you ever watch March Madness and there's that upset 10 in the morning, Bucknell beat somebody? You're so groggy, you're not even sure it happened. Your biggest games, biggest races, put them at night. All right, Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback, is now joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I guess you could laugh. I guess Howard Stern made people laugh in the morning. My point is, it's generally funnier after a cocktail at 7:30 p.m. over 7:30 a.m. Am I wrong on that, Albert, or what?
I agree. I mean, like, when you were saying that, I was just thinking about how when you're a kid, whether you're a football player or a basketball player, you're building up to being able to play at night, right? Like, when you're a kid, you start playing football, you're maybe playing on Sunday morning, then, you know, you get to high school and, you know, you play in the JV game and that's on Thursday afternoon, and everything's building up to being able to play on Friday nights, you know? So I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So JJ Watt to the Packers, it would be tight economically, but I do think, mm-hmm. I do believe sometimes that symbolically acquisitions matter. I thought Gronk to Tampa symbolically mattered. The band's back together. The system's coming down from New England. That stuff, man, I think J.J. Watt Packers, is there a hope for it? Is there a shot for it, Albert?
Yeah, I mean, they're kicking it around. Now, the Packers have some, you know, cap issues that they're going to have to wade through. As the cap stands right now, they would be over. They restructured David Bakhtiari the other day. That's a step in the right direction. So, I mean, they'd have to work through some of this stuff. But I certainly think if you want to respond to what Aaron Rodgers was saying a few weeks ago after they got eliminated, this would be a way to do it. The same way that, you know, Rob Gronkowski, I think, you know, in the beginning at least, was a little bit of an olive branch to Tom Brady and saying, hey, we're going to be aggressive here. We're going to do everything it takes. We're going to operate with a sense of urgency because we know your window is limited. Going and getting J.J. Watt now and doing it before free agency starts, I think would be sort of a sign to Aaron Rodgers, like, hey, we're not sitting on our hands here. We're going to be aggressive going forward.
Yeah. So Carson Wentz, listen, nobody know if he can be solved. The feeling is if he went to Indianapolis with Frank Reich, those would be the best odds. But Chris Ballard is judicious. Chris Ballard is patient. He is measured. They're not throwing away draft picks. So my takeaway is Chicago may be in a more desperate situation where Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy may have a year get run. So if you're asking me this morning where Carson Wentz goes, I'm thinking the Colts would probably be more measured in their offer than the Bears would. And therefore, I would think Chicago would be the front runner this morning.
I would follow your instinct on that. I think Chicago is the front runner this morning. And I do know that there's a feeling inside that building from Ryan Pace, from the coaching staff, Matt Nagy, John DeFilippo, their pass game coordinator, who got, you know, two of the best years out of Carson Wentz in 2016 and 17 as his quarterback's coach. They believe that mechanically they can fix him. Now, one of the issues with Carson Wentz is that he hasn't always responded very well to hard coaching. And so that's something they'd have to get past because John DeFilippo was the bad cop in Philadelphia. I think the issue right now, Colin, is where Carson Wentz wants to go. I think it's become pretty clear he'd rather go to Indianapolis. And I think part of it now for the Eagles is going to be, okay, if our best return right now is Chicago over Indy, then we need to convince Carson Wentz, this is the only place you're going, bud. And you need to buck up and accept this and realize that the Bears are going to give you a good chance. And I can understand why Carson Wentz would be skeptical because, look, Indianapolis, they're stable. Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, they're going nowhere. In Chicago, you'd be going to play for guys whose jobs are going to be on the line in 2021. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that the Bears have pushed harder than the Colts to get Carson Wentz. The Eagles are probably going to get their best return with Carson Wentz going to Chicago. I think the last piece of it then would become, can you convince Carson Wentz it's the right thing to do? Because I think the Bears would like to at least know that Carson Wentz is on board before pulling the trigger on a trade.
So Russell Wilson has never been about controversy. He's, you know, he's go Hawks, very positive. And I said, there's a little Tom Brady effect here. So yeah. Brady goes to Tampa and he gets Gronk and he gets Fournette and they go all in. And Russell Wilson, a couple days after Tommy does that, is sitting there thinking, so I got no say in personnel. I got an outdated offense. I get no say in the coordinator. And I do feel like, and I don't blame athletes for this, I do feel like Russell's looking over at Tampa thinking, I'm in the same class as Tommy is. I got no juice inside the organization. That's what it felt like to me. He just wanted to be heard and said, you know, you can occasionally ask your star quarterback about personnel. He can have an opinion too. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, I'll just tell you this. Like, there has been grumbling from Russell Wilson's camp in the past. Like, the Seahawks have been down this road with him before. You might remember a few years ago, it was pretty out there. Now, it didn't come from his mouth, but it was pretty out there how, you know, he wasn't happy with the progress the offensive line had made. They went and traded for Dwayne Brown. That solved some of those issues. You know, I think what you're seeing here, though, Colin, is really more about, I think, quarterbacks having cover now to come and say some of these things publicly. And I think it really started with Aaron Rodgers, but some of this stuff is along the same lines. And it's along the lines of what you're talking about, too, between Rodgers and Wilson. And they're not just looking at Tom Brady. They're looking at the other teams that were there at the end. The Bucs were very aggressive. And look, every touchdown in that game, in that Super Bowl game, was scored by somebody who was acquired after Tom Brady.
Wow.
It was Antonio Brown. It was Rob Gronkowski. It was Leonard Fournette.
Wow.
Those guys were acquired after Brady, and they went to Tampa because of Brady. Now look at how aggressive Buffalo has been about putting people around Josh Allen. They go and get Stephon Diggs. How aggressive the Chiefs have been about putting people around Patrick Mahomes. So I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers' willingness to come out and say something was more about putting pressure on the Packers than anything else. And I think Rodgers saying something then gave Wilson cover to say something in Seattle. So I think what you have now is sort of this pressure from some of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL who are looking at their own situation, looking at the teams that were standing there at the end and saying to themselves, is my team being aggressive about aggressive enough and going and getting me help? And if they aren't, well, now it's actually okay for me to go and say something about it.
By the way, listen, you can't, as I watched the Super Bowl, you know, I just came back to, good God, Tampa's packed. Just, they have so many quality players. But you can't pay everybody. And will the Buccaneers look a little different next year? Who are they going to have to move off? Somebody's going to get paid and they can't afford it.
Well, the first big decision they're going to have to make is who they franchise. And is it going to be Shaq Barrett, who they franchised last year, or Chris Godwin? My sense would be Godwin, which would mean Barrett would make it to the market. And Barrett, as a top pass rusher, is going to get paid. So are you willing to go the distance to pay him? Then it's Lavonte David, Rob Gronkowski. There are some star players who you assume will be back, and Ndamukong Suh, who you assume will be back, but at what price will they be back? So I think there are going to have to be at least a couple hard decisions made in the mosaic of all of those. The good news, though, Colin, is now that Tampa's kind of become a destination, you might be able to get, I think, some of the advantage that New England operated with over the last 20 years, where there are going to be a few guys who are going to wind up on that roster who are ring chasing. And it's going to be older guys, like third contract type guys. But it's also going to be like the young veteran who's 26 or 27 who goes out there to the market, says, maybe I don't quite like what I'm being offered right now. Why don't I do a one-year deal with the Buccaneers and reestablish my stock? And so I think with those younger veterans and the older veterans, there's going to be some opportunity for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get some bargains here with some guys who are looking to ring chase. So they lose some guys, but they also operate with the benefit that New England operated with over the last 20 years.
Yeah, and this is not a small thing. It's got good weather. There's no state tax. Tampa is one of the last larger cities in America where housing prices are realistic. It's, you know, it's a nice place to live. I lived there for a couple years. To your point, they win. It's cheap. It's by water. It's a great, you got Busch Gardens. You got Disneyland. You know, it's funny. It's funny how now I look at Tampa and I think, what a place to go play. What a fantastic organization. The power of Brady. Now it's wildly attractive, right?
It's a destination. Right. Absolutely. I mean, like, look, like, and it doesn't matter what position you're playing, right? Like, I mean, yeah, it'd be great to catch the ball from Tom Brady if you're a guy on that side of the ball. But even defensive players, look at what Todd Bowles has built the last 2 years yep. there. I talked to a couple of their players over the weekend, and they're excited about the next level that this defense can go to because of the opportunities that Todd Bowles has been able to afford for them. So, you know, it's a player-friendly culture. Players have input there. Like you said, the weather's great, no state income tax. And if you're one of these guys who needs to reestablish his stock and go somewhere in a one-year deal, it's a good place to go. And if you're a guy in the back end in his 30s who says, I want to go chase a ring, it's a good place to go.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Thanks so much for coming on. Good to be on the air again, and good to see you, Albert, again. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin. Great to hear that you're doing better, too.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it is amazing. Suddenly, I look at Tampa, and I'm like, oh, this is the best place in the league to play. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.